Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes we could think we're supposed to say teach one thing and then maybe we miss God and it goes a different direction. And after I got through ministering last week, you know, I felt this drain. I was really drained, and I felt like I had missed what God really wanted for the people. And to me, it would seem preachy, but I'm sure it was the word for somebody. But today I'm excited. I'm excited about the word that God brought as I began to study this word that he gave me. I got to studying, and as I studied, the more I studied, the more information began to surface. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, Father. This is getting a little deep for me. So he gave me permission to still go forth. I'm not going to get as deep as it began to get deep, but I think that the little bit that he's going to reveal to us on tonight is going to give us some revelation knowledge. It's going to help us to see things through a different eyesight, and it's going to help us to be able to kind of navigate through all this stuff that we got going on right now. But I'm going to do something a little different on tonight than I normally do. You know, we normally have an intro song. That intro song is normally about, you know, count your blessings in 4 minutes. I want to do something a little different. If you would just bear with me on this, I feel like we need a little worship. We need a little worship. I want to set the atmosphere. I want to invite God to come in, and I want to invite him to come in and just use me as a vessel, that he will just do away with anything that have to do with Coach D, anything that have to do with Denise, anything with my own humanity, my own selfish pride, my own ego, my own whatever. I want him to do away with that on tonight. I want him to come in and just use me to give us, not just you, but me too, a rhema word. We need some revelation knowledge. We're in a time where things are going hectic, and we're looking around us, and we're seeing things that we've never seen in our lifetime, and we need revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge is when God comes in and he reveals to us certain things. And right now, we can't go by the letter, because the word of God tells us that the letter kills and the spirit gives life. And so tonight, I believe and I'm trusting God that his spirit will come to life. That's what they call rhema. That's a rhema word. That means where the words are spoken and you could get a picture. You could get a perception of what God is trying to tell us on tonight. So before we go forward, I don't own the rights to this music, but I'm going to play a worship song that's going to set the atmosphere. And as we're setting the atmosphere, people are still coming in. We just want to, let me see, here it is right here. This song is 6 minutes, so I hope I don't lose anybody during the song. If you're not a worshiper, this will be a good time for you to experience worship. And basically, worship is extravagant respect. And right now, we're going to take 6 minutes to give God extravagant respect. Wherever you are, get in a quiet place. However you decide to worship God, if you just want to sit still in his presence, if you want to lay prostrate on your face, if you whatever you want to do, this is you and God's time. We're setting the atmosphere. We're going before the throne of God, and we're just pouring out to him. We need something on tonight. We need more than just another church service. We need more than just another hell and brimstone. We need more than just prosperity teaching. We need so much more. We need his presence. We need him in our lives. And so we're getting ready to go into that in 6 minutes, and I will be back in 6 minutes, and I just pray that this time will just refresh you and get you prepared to receive. Amen.
Change I want to see must first begin in me.
First,
first
begin.
If they're looking for you, let them find you in me. If they're looking for you, Jesus, let them find you in me. If they're looking for you, let them find you in me. If they're looking for you, let them find you in me. For I may be the only Jesus.
Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that this word will come to life. Father God, that it will just give us revelation knowledge. Father God, that we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, that you will just give us a something, Father, that we could hold on to, Lord. Lord, that we could walk out and do what you called us to do, no matter what's going on the outside, Father. We know that greater is he on the inside of us than all that's on the outside, Father. So, Lord, we thank you for this word that you will bring forth on tonight for your people, Father. We thank you, Lord. You are welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to get started. Ooh, I tell you, you know, I go through these seasons, and each season I have a song that just ministers to me. And that song that we just played, Intercession, it ministers to me. It provokes me. It makes me want to do and go beyond the four walls. It makes me want to just be the vessel that God can use, that he could speak through, that he could bless others with. I want to be able to be a blessing to others as God has blessed me. I want to be in a spirit of obedience. I want to be able to sacrifice, you know, with the obedience. Amen. So we're going to get into this word on tonight and get started. I hope I can get started. I mean, to tell you, I'm so excited about this word, and there's a whole lot more to it, but what I'm going to be able to reveal to you on tonight, I believe it's going to bless you. I'm trusting and believing that this is a word from God. Amen. And we're going to get started, and we're going to be doing some reading. So you may want to get your pens. You may want to jot down. We're going to do some reading, some bullet points. I'm so excited about this word. I've been hearing this word for 3 weeks, and this probably was a word that God wanted me to tell last week, but I went off course. And so I'm excited about this word. I'm excited about it. And as you know, because you've seen the flyer, that tonight I give every show a title, and tonight's title is Pride Comes Before the Fall. Pride Comes Before the Fall. Okay, I'm going to start off because I want to set the scene for where we're going. I want to start off because I got to give you a little history, because without that history, then you're not going to be able to understand. It's not going to make sense to you. But one of the things I want you to know on tonight, as we get started, as we get into the word, Ecclesiastes 1:9 tells us this: what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing, and I do mean nothing, new under the sun. Amen. Nothing new under the sun. So with that, keeping that in your mind as we go through this little history lesson, that's going to start making sense. Just be still and let God minister to you. He may minister something totally different to you than he ministered to me as I begin to share this. You know, with everything that's going on, and we're looking, and I'm asking God, and I'm trying to stay faithful. I'm trying to stay in faith. I'm trying not to lose hope. I'm trying not to, you know, operate in fear, doubt, and worry. But I'm trusting God. You know, I heard this morning him saying he gives each one of us a measure of faith. My faith could be stronger in one area and not in another. Your faith could be stronger in one area and not in another. So he gives each one of us a measure of faith. Some people have more faith for healing than others. Some people have more faith for finances or needs being met than others. You know, some people, it's just different. You know, everybody has different measures of faith, you know. And we have weaknesses and we have strengths. Some of us are stronger in some areas than others. So as I'm just thinking and looking at things going around, I kept hearing the word Babylon. I kept hearing the word Babel. Babel, the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel. And it kept popping up, and I know the story of the Tower of Babel, but I didn't think much of it. So didn't think much of it, and then I kept hearing it, and I said, okay, Lord, there's something you want me to do with this. So let me just start doing my work. Let me start researching. Let me start reading. Father God, I need to hear. What is it that you're telling me? What does this mean? And so we don't know what's going on. Teach this tonight, because we're hearing a lot of theories. We don't know. We don't know if this is 5G towers. We don't know if it's coronavirus. We're hearing that coronavirus is a protein that's saturated in fats, and we're hearing this and that. And you know, it started from a fish market in China, and it went from just being a people getting it because they eating bats all the way to the black communities are the ones that's getting it the worst. The black communities are the ones that's dying. So we're hearing, you know, it went from one extreme to the next, and we're hearing all these different theories and all these different stories. stories, and I kept hearing also in my spirit, whose report will you believe? Whose report? See, we're watching media, we're watching social media and news and stuff, and we're getting contaminated. And God is saying, whose report will you believe? Because whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come and live inside of you. Whatever you give your attention to, I'm going to say it again, that spirit will come and live inside of you. We better be careful what we're giving our attention to, because we cannot be dictated by what we see going on in the, on the outside. But we got to trust the God that's on the inside of us. Amen. So let's get to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, I'm going to give you a moment. For those of you that may not know where Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And we're going to go to chapter 11. Amen. And we're going to start at verse 1. Now, in this, I'm going to be reading, as I usually do, from the Message, because I want it to be broken down into layman terms. I always, always, always recommend that you go back for yourself to King James and read it and study for yourself, because I'm reading it and I'm just giving you what the revelation that I received. Again, you may receive something different. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. At one time, the whole earth spoke the same language. It so happened that as they moved out of the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled down. They said to one another, "Come, let's make bricks and fire them well." They used brick for stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches heaven. Let's make ourselves famous so we won't be scattered here and there across the earth." God came down to look over the city and the tower those people had built. God took one look and said, "One people, one language, why? This is only a first step. No telling what they'll come up with next. They'll stop at nothing. Come, we'll go down and garble their speech so that they won't understand each other." Then God scattered them from there all over the world, and they had to quit building the city. That's how it came to be called Babel, because their God turned their language into Babel. From there, God scattered them all over the world. Short story, a very short story, but very powerful. It's you know how they say little things come in, big things come in little packets. There's not a big story about Babel. You know, I went to Genesis 10 to read because I wanted to kind of try to see, okay, is it a little bit more? But it was that moment. I'm sure there are things that build up to people getting this kind of arrogance. But we're going to talk. We're going to break down the Tower of Babel. We're going to break down Babylon. We're going to break this down. Like I said, we're laying the foundation. I had to give you the story that this foundation has been laid on, and it's been laid on Genesis 11. And we're talking about the Tower of Babel. So what we've seen in here is that men got beside themselves, and they thought, oh, they could just, you know, they're going to build a tower to heaven, and, you know, and they started doing their own thing, their own thing. And so God had to come in, and he had to create chaos. He had to come in and create chaos, you know, for them. What? Chaos. God created chaos. Yeah, he changed up their languages. So now it's chaotic. Why is it chaotic? They couldn't understand each other. You know, you have some people speaking this language, and those who spoke that language went to that part of the earth, and these that spoke this language went to that part. So he scattered them because they were one. Remember he said at one point it was just one, it was one language. Everybody spoke the same language. And so let's just get into this a little further. First of all, we want to understand whose kingdom included Babylon and the Tower of Babel. Nimrod, you've heard of Nimrod in the Bible. Nimrod was the grandson of Noah. Nimrod was the grandson of Noah. And so he was the one who founded that kingdom. And it included Babylon. So it was Babylonia, and it included Babylon in a city called Shinar. So I'm going to break this down. Bear with me because I'm trying to break it down because God has taken me to these places. So I'm trying to break it so you could understand it and you could get what you need to get out of it. So we already all have established that we're talking about the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was in Babylon. And I'm going to break that down. What does that really mean? What's the carnal version of what that means? And what's the spiritual version? The Tower of Babel was founded, of course, we said in Genesis 11. And it's easy enough for us to make connection between Babel and Babylon. It is Babel and Babylon. But in Hebrew, those are the same words. So if you were speaking Hebrew, Babel and Babylon is the same word. And so Babylon is Akkadian, Babylonian, which means the gates of God. That's what that word actually meant. And it became the capital of the land of Babylonia, as I was sharing with you. Now, throughout the Bible, what we're going to find out is Babylon was a symbol of confusion. That's really, spiritually, that's what it meant. It meant a spirit of confusion. Babylon represented godlessness. It was confusion, and God wasn't being put first. People was, I'm going to put it in modern terms, people was doing their own thing. They was doing what they wanted to do. You know, arrogance and pride had came about. You know, I'm better than this, and we could do this, and we could, you know, it was that pride thing that came along, and that's what Babylon represented. You know, it was a city that was just doing a lot. Does that sound familiar to you? We to relate to that here and now, this time now. Remember the word of God said there's nothing new up under the sun. We could relate to this now. We could kind of almost look and we said, wow, this looks very similar to Babylon because we started doing our own things. And it's not just the world or what we call the sinners that was doing their own things, but even us as saints were doing our own things. We had our own agendas. We had our own denominations, and we had cliques. This clique was doing this, and this clique was doing that. We began to do our own things, and maybe, and just maybe, the spirit of pride began to settle in with us, and we began to get this arrogance about ourselves, where we removed God out the center of all that we said we were doing for God. No longer were we doing it for God, but we were doing it for self-gratification. Amen? We were doing it for self-gratification. And I'm just going to speak for myself. I can't speak for anyone else. But when I started thinking about it, I began to study and read about this, and I thought about what Babylon spiritually meant. And it meant, you know, chaos and confusion and godlessness. And I started thinking in the world that I'm living in today where I'm seeing godlessness, where I'm seeing confusion, where I'm seeing chaos, and things are going on. And I'm thinking, wow, this sounds familiar. And then all of a sudden, we have what we have today. We have this thing going on that has shut the world down. It has shut the world down. I mean, we have never seen anything like this before. I work out at the airport, and I have an opportunity to go into the terminals from time to time, and it's eerie. You go in there, and there's nobody. I'm talking about a big airport. Houston Intercontinental is a big airport. LAX is a big airport. And you walk in those airports, these are airports that on any given day you could barely drive through them because of the traffic. You could barely walk through them because of the traffic. You're going to touch somebody. You're going to bump into somebody. Can you imagine planes that sit, what, on an average 300 people, maybe 200 people? These planes are flying out of these cities, and they're only carrying 6 people. So they could definitely do social distancing on the plane because everybody's at home, and they're in terror. Everybody's scared. Now, don't take this message as me saying that you don't trust God because you stand in the house with your mask, your gloves, and your overcoat on. That's not what Coach D is saying. What I'm saying is that fear, there's a spirit of fear that's been released upon the earth. There is a spirit of fear, and I want tonight's message to let us know we don't have to The word of God tells us that what the enemy meant for bad, God turns around for our good. Why? For our good. He's working things together for our good. Why? Because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. So if you know that you're a child of God and you know that you've received them, then these, when we speak these scriptures, when we hear these things that tell us those things, we got to believe that that's true. Because we have to operate in what? Faith. Amen. So when he's telling us that, we got to believe that. So when I'm telling you tonight to be encouraged, because see, the Tower of Babel to me was just another example. It may have not said coronavirus, you know, or coronavirus might have not said the Tower of Babel, but what it said is that men get out of control. Men start doing things. And I began to feel in my spirit, and I don't know, because I've heard a lot of theories, and I try not to be contaminated or poisoned by what other people are thinking, but I believe in my spirit that there is something going on in the earth, and we already know that there's some things going on. We know that the Bible, the Bible prophesied these days. It told us that there would be days like this. It told us about the locusts. It told us about the plague. It told us about famine. It told us about earthquakes and dire plagues. The Bible has told us about all these things, but glory to God, the Bible also told us who gets the victory. Amen? And so when we begin to see these things in our flesh, that carnal mind begins to fear and we begin to panic. We want to be careful that we don't give way into this way of thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. So you don't want to start fearing and thinking and worrying about what's going on so much so that this becomes your thought process. This is the thing that you're giving your attention to. Now you're opening up portals. You're opening up portals into your own life that now you'll begin to notice that you being affected by things that you're giving your thought process to. And this is what you don't want to do. So what you want to do is trust the God you say you serve. And how you trust them is through faith. And how do you increase your faith? Your faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. So if we're in the word of God during this time while you're sitting in the house, don't let it just be something that you're just sitting in the house. Make this time count. This would be the time that you would begin to get into the word of God to increase your faith. And ask God, while you're spending time with him, ask him, Lord, please show me. Or can you reveal to me? Help me understand. Help me not lean to my own understanding, but Lord, can you show me something? Can you show me what's going on? And sometimes, and I believe that that's what I do. Now, it may not work for you, but it works for me. God begins to comfort me through his word. He begins to minister to my spirit. And his comfort to me and his comfort to you as his children, the story of Babel, of the Tower of Babel, is showing that anytime man gets so full of themselves, anytime man gets so carnal-minded, anytime men start trying to outdo God, you know, and I can think of a thousand things. We didn't hear the term 5G, but 5G started off with 1G at some point. And 1G wasn't good enough. They couldn't leave well enough alone, so then they had to go to 2G. And then 2G ain't good enough because 2G only does this. So now we got to go to 3G. You see where I'm going with this? And so every time, each time we go to a different thing, technology is growing. We see things today that we didn't see 20, 30 years ago. The technology is keep going because what technology is convenient? We all say it's convenient because we used to could walk out the house and didn't know nothing about taking the phone with us. When people called your house, if you weren't at home, they didn't talk to you until you got back home. So, see, technology has become convenient. Most of us won't leave the house without our phone. Most of us, if we got to every year and a half, we got to buy us the new technology because technology is changing every year. You know, if you got the iPhone 11 last year, now it's the iPhone XR and the XX and the 2X, and next thing you know, we was good with 3G, And then 3G stopped functioning, and now we're in the 4G, and now we're in 5G. Don't you know that this stuff has to have some kind of effect on the human body? This stuff has to have effect. I'm not talking just because Coach D is talking emotional. This is scientific. Do your research. Do your research. My mentor tells me all the time, anytime I ask a question, he said, Google it. Google knows everything. Google knows everything. And you'll start finding the effect of technology on the body. You think about it. We're sitting up holding a phone, and with all that it takes this phone, the waves, and I'm not going to talk like I'm a scientist because I'm not a scientist. So I'm not going to sit up here and pretend like I know that. But I'm smart enough to know that this phone being on my ear over a protracted period of time is creating some issues. Why do I say that, Coach D? I'm going to tell you something. In the 60s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, you vaguely heard about, I never even heard of lupus. I never even heard of sarcoidosis. It's so many different autoimmune dysfunctions, diseases and dysfunctions, and there's so much inflammation. And when you start thinking about all this stuff, how often did you hear about Alzheimer's? You didn't. It was certain things we just didn't hear about. Now, there were some things we heard about, but we heard about it fairly. If you remember, there used to be a time that breast cancer, you only caught breast cancer because it was genetic, or it was told to be genetic. If your mama didn't have it, or your mama's mama didn't have it, you wasn't going to have it. That's not the case today. We have more women that's being treated for breast cancer. We have more men that's being treated for prostate cancer. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take a TD Jakes. It doesn't take it's not profound. You can see what's going on in the earth. And it all goes back to, we see the symptom. And we see the symptom. But when you get back to the root cause, what does the root cause go back to? The pride of man, the greed of man, what man wants, what we think we need. And then they could, you know, you got people that's inventing and creating these things, and then they make us believe that we think it. I'm sure when Nimrod came in there and he started thinking this, he got buy-in. He couldn't do it by himself. He had a vision. This is what I want to do. I'm going to make towers that could reach to heaven. God didn't destroy it because they could reach to heaven. That's not why he destroyed it. That's not why he caused chaos in languages, because he was scared they were going to make it to heaven. He knew they'll never make it to heaven because heaven is spiritual. God is spiritual. And he knew, and by far he knew that they were nowhere on the spiritual level to even understand that. But it was the arrogance and the pride that was disturbing to God, and he had to shake it up. He had to shake it up. And that's not the first time that God had to shake up some stuff. And what I mean shake up, I don't believe that God creates the damnation and the pain. I don't believe God creates it. But the sin on the earth creates it. But God has the ability to stop it. But God allows it. He said, okay, I believe that God says, okay, this is what you want to do? Okay. I done already told you. You know how we are as parents, and you keep telling your kids something, and you keep telling them something, and they keep doing what they want to do, and you get to a point where you just raise your hand and say, okay, I done told you. I'm going to back up. I done told you. Now, don't come calling me talking about get you out of jail. You know, parents, if some parents on the phone, and you could relate. If you're not already laughing, you could relate to what I'm saying. Oh, don't call tell me to come get you out of jail. I come and get you out of jail. I told you not to do that. And I believe God operates the same way. That he just has to back up from us sometimes and say, okay, don't blame me when things go away. And I believe that's the situation we're in right now, is that men just keep going, and we keep going, and we keep doing, and we just out of order. We out of order. Think about it. If you know anything about the orbiting of the earth and, the earth, what happens when it gets out of sync? What happens when it gets out of alignment? Disaster, right? Same thing. I believe when we begin to get so far out, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the saints. When we get so far out of alignment, what happens? We get out of alignment. And guess what? We got such an amazing God that we serve, and he loves us so much. Surely if he would send his only begotten son for us, that means he loves us. And he gives us chance after chance. He gives us time after time because he loves us. He says it, and we keep hearing the scriptures. It's so many scriptures that could comfort us. There's so many scriptures that let us remind us of how much he loves us. But we keep hearing 2 Chronicles 7:14. He's given us the solution. He's not accounting for the rest of the world, but he said, my people is my people. Listen to that. Just take it and die. Don't just read it, but take it and chew on it. He said, if my people who are called by my name, not by Donald Trump's name, not by the Democratic name, he said, by my name, what are we doing, saints? What are we doing running around in fear? What are we doing standing with political parties that don't represent nothing that got to do with the kingdom? What are we doing? We hold the key. The world ain't doing nothing different because the world is dark. You know, we already know the enemy is controlling the world, but what are we doing? Because we're supposed to be a light in that world. But if our light is dim, if we're hopeless, if we're faithless, if we're operating in fear, if we're panicking, if we're walking out, come on now, you tell me, if you're going somewhere, and you walk into a flower shop. I'm giving an example. I'm trying to give you a picture. I don't want you to see letters. I want you to hear. I want you to get a picture. If you walk into the grocery store tomorrow, and everybody that worked at the grocery store, not the customers, but everybody that worked at the grocery store had full-blown suits on. I'm talking about like the suits you've seen on these movies with the Ebola and stuff. And they'd be totally covered from head to toe. They have on the gear. They fully geared from head to toe. And if you walk into your grocery store to purchase your groceries on tomorrow, and you walk in that store and everybody that worked in that store was fully geared up, how would that make you feel? You would be scared to death. And you may, but I know me, if I walked in and seen that, and especially if I just had on a mask, or if I just had on some gloves, or let's say I didn't have on nothing, I just gonna keep the 6 foot distance. And I walked into that, the chances are is I'm not sticking around. Whatever I thought I needed out of that store, guess what? I'm not gonna get it. Because now they just scared me to death. I'm fixing to leave because I'm thinking, this is dangerous. I'm walking into death. Why am I saying that? Because if we are believers and we sin, we trust this omnipotent God. This omnipotent God that controls everything. Meaning he is the creator of heaven and earth. So we're saying we trust him. I'm not saying being foolish, but if we say we trust him, how much fear really should we be operating in? How much fear? You know, should we have on a full body suit? If that's the case, why are we eating the food? Because the food, if it's like that, the food is contaminated. If it's airborne, the air you breathe is contaminated. If it's like that, the mask that you wear and you're going to wear it again tomorrow because you don't have another one is contaminated. The gloves that you put on and you take off and put back on or throw them in your purse or throw them in your pocket is contaminated. So everything is contaminated. You get what I'm saying? So what is the point I'm making to you? If it's your time to die, you would have been dead. Do I now say use common sense or use godly wisdom? Yes, use wisdom. But don't allow the process to take over. Don't lose your mind behind the report that we're not even supposed to be listening to anyway. The sure fact that you're listening to this message on tonight is proof. See, we don't have proof that this is really a coronavirus. That's what we've been told. We know people, the only thing we all agree on is that people are dying. We really don't know for real, if that's what it is. We've been told that. We're also being told that the illness is from 5G. We don't have proof. We're being told that. We've been told a certain amount of people are dying from this thing that's killing us. But we don't have proof that everybody that's dying is from that, because we're now being told that some people that died and was told they were dying from this is dying from heart disease, is dying from diabetes, is dying from other illnesses. So we don't have proof of none of that. We're only going by what we've been told. The one thing that we have proof of is that God is God. The one thing we have proof of is that he is Jehovah Nisi, our protector and our shield. The one thing we have proof of is that he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. The one thing we have proof of is that he is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And when you got that kind of proof, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to, that's the only report you need to believe. That's what we need to be believing, the report of the Lord. Who is he? I am that I am. He is all that we need. And this is not a religious speech. This is the truth. I'm still here. I'm alive. You're still here. You're alive. Something's covering you. It's only by God's grace and his mercy. That's proof. Right there alone is proof. Because you could be laid up in the hospital somewhere with them telling you you got something that you may not even have. But something's wrong. And when the world don't know about what's wrong, they start guessing. When the world don't understand what's going on, they come up with these theories. Amen? But God don't. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He sees it before it comes. And all we got to do is follow in behind him. All we got to do is trust him to lead us and to show us where we need to be and what we need to be doing. Amen? We just need to trust him. and how we trust him is remembering his goodness. All of us, I'm sure, have been in situations and circumstances that was beyond our control. I know I have. God has delivered me from some stuff. God has delivered you from some stuff. And when we start feeling that anxiety, when we start feeling that fear, just remember God's goodness. Remember where you were before, and he helped you that time. And remember the last time you did this, and he helped you that time. You remember this, and he delivered you that time. Some of us should have been dead a long time ago, but glory to God, we're still here. God is able. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's not changing. He is the same. Don't think that he don't see what's going on in the earth. Don't think that he don't know what's going on. But he's saying, my children, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust that I will do what I said I would do? Would you trust me? Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Are you trusting him for real? Are you trusting him? Do you remember? Touchstone. CBM in the house. Touchstone. Remembering God's goodness. What has he done for you before? Remember that. What has he brought you out of before? Remember that. And remember that in these times. Because according to the word of God, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And the one last thing I want to say, and it may not sit well with many of you. I've said it a lot. Those who know me personally know this. What's the worst case scenario? In this situation, what's the worst case scenario? That you die and go to heaven? We all been saying we want to go to heaven. And the only way we're going to get to heaven is die. So if it be God's will that he chose that today you're not going to continue on this journey, your race is over, then you already know, as a believer, where you're going. And if you know that, then it shouldn't be no fear. It really shouldn't be no fear, because we know that he is handling everything. Whether we leave tomorrow or we stay, he's handling everything. And while we're here, we got work to do, because we wasn't here to live forever. We wasn't here to live in nice homes. We wasn't here to drive fancy cars. We wasn't placed here to have love relationships and family and friends. That's not really why we were here. We were brought here, and while we're here, it's supposed to be a witness upon the earth. We are supposed to be witnessing. We are supposed to be telling people about Jesus. He said it's the Great Commission. It's why I'm here. It's all about him. It should not be about us at all. And so we should be here during this time, even with this time that sickness and death is so prevalent around us. We need to be making sure that there's going to be more people making it to heaven, that more people are going to be receiving Jesus Christ. People are dying, but he's left us alive for a reason, and that's not to sit at home with masks and gloves on, wondering what's the next thing, or sit at home blaming the president. Oh, he did this. Or sit at home and blame the Democrats. Or sit at home and blame the Republicans. We are always trying to find somebody to blame. And what we need to be blaming is let's call it what it is, sin. It's sin in the earth. It's Babylon. It's godlessness. It's godlessness. And we're supposed to be the ones that bring the message of God. Bring the message of his son. And we got to do that. Be encouraged. There's a lot of work to do. The harvest is great right now, because when people are scared, what's the first thing they do? They go to God. They go to the church. Now, there's not even a physical church building for people to go to. That's modern-day persecution of the church. They can't gather. They can't do this. But guess what? You are the church. You are a moving, walking, living building. You are the church. So get out there and open your mouth and start ministering to people. While you're in the grocery store trying to fight over toilet paper, minister the gospel. When you run into wherever you need to go to get water, minister the gospel. When people's running around looking scared and stuff, minister the gospel. Guess what? Because the gospel could be heard at 6 feet away. The gospel could be heard at 6 feet away. Make sure we're checking our attitudes as our day-to-day when we're out there because life could get stressful. Make sure we're checking our attitudes because sometimes God may bring somebody that may not never hear your voice, but what they're going to remember is maybe a smile or maybe they picked up your kind spirit or maybe they seen a piece about you that stood out. So we need to be making sure and doing our due diligence to make sure that our attitude is right. Make sure that we stay in vertical alignment. Vertical alignment means stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. Listen to his word. Don't be making foolish decisions. This is not a time for foolish decisions. This is not a time for us to be trying to decide if we're going to come to Christ. This is not a time for us to be talking about backsliding. This is the time, church. It says that get right, church, let's go home. This is a good time. It's a great time. Don't allow the media to show you something so negative. This is a great time. God is doing something amazing, even in the midst of the chaos. Because guess what? Denominations are breaking. Division is breaking. These are things that are breaking. People are being humbled. People are being broken. And when we're broken, it's the best time for God to use us. So there's some great things spiritually that's going on. Even in the midst of the doom and gloom, there's some great things going on. God is moving. He ain't stopped. He ain't checked. He's still moving. Don't sit down and get complacent. Be moving with him. Amen? Be moving with him. And I just want to take a couple of minutes as we come towards the end of the show. If you have a comment or a question about tonight's message, dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. I pray that tonight's message really encouraged you because God is still God. He's still on the throne. And we got work to do. We got work to do. We ain't got time. We don't have the luxury of sitting down. We don't have the luxury of not sharing the gospel. That's not what he's called us to do. We got to be out there, and we got to be visible because there's people that's looking for hope. There's people that's looking for God. And as if you heard the worship song earlier, for those who heard it, like he said, we may be the only Jesus somebody sees. We may be the only joy somebody sees. We are carriers. What? Not of the coronavirus. We carriers of the message of Christ. Hallelujah. And we need to be portrayed. We need to be speaking the message because we are carriers. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we just want to thank you for your word on tonight, Lord. I pray that each and every person that was listening on tonight is touched. I pray that they're encouraged. I pray that they know what their assignment is. And Father God, that they move accordingly. Lord, that they not be stagnant. Father God, that we not be consumed about so many other things that's outside of the things that we need to be focused on, Father, which is you. And Father God, kingdom business. So Father God, I just thank you for each person listening in. Father, I pray that you would meet every need, Father. Father God, for those who have reduced income, Father God, I pray that you would bless them. Father God, for those who have lost income, I pray that you would bless them, Father God. Father God, for those who are dealing with health challenges, Father God, I pray that Jehovah Rapha will heal them, Father God. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over those that's listening in, Father, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Father God. Father God, I pray that they will keep their hearts and minds stayed on you, Father God. Father, your word says that if we delight ourselves in you, that you would give us the desires of our heart, Father, because our desires line up with what you desire for us, Father. So we just say thank you, Father God. Father, I pray that this will be a time of abiding, Father, that this will be a time of abiding, abiding in you and your word, abiding in us, Father God, that we will ask what we will and to be given, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you're still moving. We thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne. We thank you, Father God, that nothing can happen that you don't allow, Father. So, Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. I hope you come back next Thursday. Please invite a friend. If you enjoyed tonight's show, invite a friend. Have them come listen in, and we're going to continue to just bring the message of Jesus Christ, and we're going to continue to win souls for Christ. Amen. Have a good evening and have a blessed week. And remember, it's work to do. Get busy. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good night.